Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Redemption Church. The following sermon is by Elder James Richardson.
So, reading from James chapter 5, verse 7 through 11. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. It's the Lord's word.
Hello, everybody. You pull up that first slide, Gaines? So, I want you to say this with me. On three, ready? One, two, three. Be patient. You can't fix this. Okay, I'm going to call on you guys to repeat that again later. But this, if you only get one thing from tonight, this is the one thing that James is driving home in this passage. Be patient, because you can't fix this. Can you pull up that second slide? So, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my backstory, but first, and it's not just my namesake, the book of James actually is my favorite book of the Bible, and this happens to be my favorite passage of the book of James because it really hits home for me. So this picture right here, this is my heritage. That is my grandfather's dairy farm, Fred Richardson, that's in upstate New York. This is what I grew up with. I grew up in a dairy farm family, and so I understand farming. I understand how hard the job is. I understand what it means to be patient through a harvest year. And I also understand how hard it is to work for a harvest and not always get the fruits that you're looking for. So, as we go into this, one thing that I want to really hit home is how little control we have in our lives. And James is driving this point home. Pull up that next slide, Gaines. So, a little bit about small family farms. This is a balance sheet, great example of a small family farm, like my grandfather's farm was. Hopefully you can see that, but if you can't, on the top part there, there's an income section showing a total income of $85,000 for a family farm, which is pretty typical for a small family farm. If you look at the second section there where the expenses are, and you look at the bottom, there's $70,000 of expenses for that farmer to make an $85,000 profit. That means a $15,000 net profit for the family farm. So you can imagine how hard it is if a crop doesn't come through for a small family farmer. And that's the point that James is driving home here. Can you pull that next slide up? So let's take a deeper dive here into the text. So verses 7 and 8. It says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. So you see, I highlighted and italicized that word then. That word then is translated in the NASB as therefore. And a really good thing to do when you're reading through scripture is if you ever see the word therefore, ask yourself what it's there for. And so in this case, James is actually driving us back to last week. So last week, Ian talked about the rich and the powerful, right? And does anybody remember, how does the rich and powerful get ahead in life? Ian, you can answer. It's not cheating.
You hoard wealth and you exploit people.
There you go. Hoard wealth and exploit people, right? Does that sound like what James is talking about here? No, this is an exact contradiction of the way the wealthy and the powerful of this world get by. And so here James is driving home the point. You are not exploiting the poor when you're a farmer. You're patient and you're waiting on the Lord. So why is the farmer waiting on the Lord? What is it that makes the farmer wait on the Lord? And so we're going to talk a little geography and history here for a second, but the key piece in this passage here about why the farmer waits on the Lord is right at the end of verse 7, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. So in the Middle East, you have a long dry season, and you have two seasons where the rain comes. It comes in the spring, and it comes in the fall, and it corresponds with the crops of the year. So we have the winter wheat, and we have the spring wheat, and they rely on those rains. So just take a wild guess, what happens if the rains don't come? Anybody?
No harvest.
No harvest, right? And what does the farmer work for? Works for the harvest, right? Farmer's working for a harvest. So if the rains don't come, there's no harvest. So why is the farmer patient? Why does he wait on the Lord? I don't know a farmer who can control the rain. And that is as true today for today's farmer as it was in the Middle East when James wrote this text. Farmers wait on the rain and they can't control the rain. So farmers wait on the Lord. An exact contradiction to what the rich and powerful of this world do. They don't wait on the Lord, they act, they exploit, they do what they can to get ahead. So pull up that next slide, Gaines. So we're going to jump towards the end there. James shifts gears a little bit here. And just stay with me here because it seems like two different topics, and James does this a lot because it's wisdom literature, so he jumps from one thing to another. But I don't think that's what's going on here. So stay with me for a second here on this. But here in verses 10 and 11, James says, "Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." And so there's a comparison going on here between the farmer and the prophet. And at first glance, it doesn't fit. But the prophets worked hard at the calling God gave them. And the difference between the farmer and the prophet is the prophet didn't get to see the harvest. So prophets spoke about things to come. All the prophets of the Old Testament pointed to Christ. How many of the prophets of the Old Testament got to see him? None, right? And so there's a comparison here because if the farmer has to wait on the rains for the harvest to come and they don't come, he still trusts God. The prophet had to wait for the harvest to come, which he didn't get to see in this life. And he had to trust God. So there's a couple of questions to ask here of ourselves. Do you trust God when the harvest doesn't come? When you've invested your time in a calling that he's put on your life and you don't see it, do you still trust him? Or do you, like the rich and the powerful from last week, try to act and fix on your own? Because as we learned in the beginning, be patient.
Can't fix.
Say it again now, be patient.
Can't fix.
You can't fix this, right? God is in control, and only God can fix the circumstances of our lives. So James is calling us to be like the farmer, to be patient, even when we don't see the harvest. To be like the prophet, to be patient even when we don't see the harvest. So the question is, will you follow Christ when things fall apart? Are you content with the riches to come? Or are you working only for what you can get here? You pull up that next slide, Gaines. So Jesus speaks about this topic with the prophets in the Sermon on the Mount. And here in Matthew 5, he says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they prosecuted the prophets who were before you." And so not only do the prophets not see the harvest of their work, but due to their work, this is what they got. And yet they trusted God through their calling. So do you trust God in your calling? Do you trust God in the uncertainty, even when you don't see the harvest coming? Do you trust God when things fall apart? Pull up that next slide, Gaines. So, and you see this arrow here pointing down to the extremely handsome gentleman in the engineer hat there. That is my grandfather, Fred Richardson. And this is a historical moment that happened in the 1930s in the dairy farm family. So what was going on in the United States in the 1930s? Great Depression, right? So worked its way from the west to the east. And by 1939, the dairy farm community of Pennsylvania and New York was dealing with very, very low dairy prices and a shrinking market. And so the dairy farmers of that time binded together to decide to make a change. And so they went on a strike that lasted about 2 weeks. And during that strike, every time they filled their tankers with milk, they would dump it on the side of the road. And their goal was that this action would be followed through with higher prices, a better market. In essence, they decided to act because they couldn't be patient any longer. And so my grandfather was part of the crew that unionized the dairy farmers of our area and the Hudson Valley in New York. And eventually, they did have a short-term solution, which was a better market, better prices. The long-term result of that was a few things. One, the relationship between farmers and merchants suffered. And two, this was the beginning of the end of the family farm. And so what we've seen work its way from out west to the east is that big farms have bought up all the small farms because the small farmer can't afford to live anymore. This was a result of that. This led to subsidies, which have crippled the farming community to this day. So this is what happens when you act as a farmer instead of being patient. In retrospect, I remember having conversations with my grandfather years later about how he wished that they hadn't done this, because the long-term effects of this were terrible for the farm community. So it goes back to the question: will you continue to follow Christ and trust him when things fall apart? When it doesn't look like there's a solution? Pull up that next slide, Keynes. So I told you to come along this journey with me. We would tie it all up here. And the tie is between those two passages. Verse 9 here is the crux of this passage. And it says, "Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." And at first glance, it doesn't really look like that's the linchpin of the passage. But that word grumble is better translated to begrudge or to be jealous of. And so what James is saying here is, despite the circumstances of your life, don't be jealous of what other people have. Be patient, because Christ will provide your daily bread. When he spoke of the farmer, there were two reasons that the farmer was patient. One, he was patient because he waited on the Lord for the early and late rains, or the autumn and fall rains. But the second was that he knew that the Lord was near. And so, same thing here. The judge is the Lord. The Lord is near. The judge is near. Don't be jealous of what other people have, because the Lord is near. The Lord is present. The Lord provides our daily bread. And that's the promise. That's the promise. Pull up that last slide, Haynes. So what's the good news of this passage? You know, there was a lot of heaviness in there. But the good news is that God is present in hard times. So the question is, are we willing to accept that? Or are we going to be like my grandfather and act and destroy in order to try to build? Or are we willing to be patient and wait? That last section of the verse on the prophets, where James talks about Job, and the last line he gives there is, the Lord is compassionate and is merciful. And we know the story of Job. God took everything away from Job. He took his family away, his crops, his servants, his house. He took everything away from him, took his health away from him. And Job was patient and waited on the Lord. And what was the end result for Job? He got everything back tenfold. And why did he get it back? Because he trusted God. Now, it's not to say that God's going to provide that for all of us, but the point is that we serve a God who is full of compassion and mercy. And so even when the rains don't come and we expect them, and even when things look uncertain, he is compassionate and merciful, and God is for you. And what better news could there be? That the God who controls the rains is for you. He cares about you as an individual. And we can trust him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So once again, what was our mantra for the day? Be patient. You can't fix this. So as you go through the next week, as we go through our lives, remember that. As we deal with tough times, as we wait on the rains and they don't seem like they're coming, God is full of compassion and mercy, and only he can fix our lives. Lord, teach us to be patient. Teach us to trust you when life seems uncertain, when the harvest doesn't seem to be coming. Lord, help us not to act on our own, but trust that you will provide. Lord, I pray that we would be a church who knows in full certainty that you are for us, that you will provide for us, that you will continue to love us, that you will continue to be compassionate and merciful. Lord, help those realities set into our hearts. And I pray these things in your name. Amen.
To find out more about Redemption Church, visit redemptionbristol.org.